How many of us know what happened last Friday and last Saturday? How many of us know what happened? All right. So the last time we saw our pastor, was he a different man?
Yes.
And now that you've seen him this morning, is he a different man?
Yes.
Hey, if you didn't know, our pastor got married last Friday and last Saturday. Amen. And if you haven't noticed, there's someone sat right next to him.
Yes.
Have you noticed? That's why the smile has changed. Did you notice that? Pastor's guitar was a bit different. I had to look back and think, what's going on? Is this the same? But we know what is behind. And we just want to say you're very welcome, Sister Peace. Can we give her a welcome? And it's so good to see that ring on your hand, that finger. We thank God for what he's done. And God is awesome. God is a God of new beginnings. And we thank God for what he's done. But just as we go into the service this morning, we're just going to, I know we've worshipped, we've lifted up our voices, but we're just going to say another word of prayer this morning. Father, Lord God, we've all gathered here because of you. We thank you, Father, Lord, that we can even openly declare our worship to you. There are some nations where they have to gather in secret because the laws of those countries prohibit their worship. But we thank you, Lord, because our worship this morning is not prohibited. I want to say, Father, Lord, the words that you have for everyone that's in this house, the Holy Spirit, that you will explain it to everyone this morning. Father, Lord, I pray that the word of God will come to them according to their needs in Jesus' name. The Bible says the word of God comes to reproof, it comes to give direction. And he said, thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, as we sang that song, that you can light it up, let the word of God light up every dark area in our lives this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Excuse me. So I'm going to be very brief this morning. And it's very funny because I tried to escape being here this morning. And Pastor knows. It's funny, someone once said that every Saturday evening, for people who have to come and teach here, honestly, is the greatest battle of the night. Because when you come here, it's very serious business, and it's a privilege to share with God's people. So may God help me this morning in Jesus' name. And I thank God that I'm able to share the little that I can with us this morning. And we've started a new series this month, and it is called Living a Fulfilled Life Led by the Holy Spirit. And we cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. We cannot do anything without the Spirit of God. And so that is the theme for this morning. And this morning, in talking about living a fulfilled life through the Holy Spirit, I know many of us are aware of the Holy Spirit, and we know the Spirit of God helps us in our gifting, speaking in tongues, etc. But I'm going to be talking about living a fulfilled life led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to be using Aquila and Priscilla, a couple who we know supported Paul's ministry in the book of Acts 18. We're going to be using them as a reference point this morning. And I pray that Holy Spirit will touch our lives and our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Whatever is on your mind, just shut it out. The bills, maybe you got a ticket because you parked in the wrong place. Maybe you have cooking to do, like me, after this service. Let's shut it out and let's focus on God this morning. And let the Spirit of God minister to our souls. Amen. So just talking about the Holy Spirit. So who is the Holy Spirit? Is it just a mystical thing? Is it just a spooky thing that we hear about? But I remember in the past when Pastor Benson has taught us that the Holy Spirit actually is just a person, just like we saw Jesus in the flesh. He's just a person. And the Holy Spirit is the one that knows all mysteries. He was there at the beginning. Remember in Genesis when God says, let us. The Holy Spirit knows all things. So who better to guide us in our daily affair than the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit doesn't just speak to people because they're apostles or because you're a pastor. The Holy Spirit speaks to young girls, teenagers. I remember in the book of Acts, I think Philip's daughters, the Bible says they prophesied. The Holy Spirit speaks to everyone, no matter your age, no matter your religion. And the first thing I want us to look at as we look at this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, is I'm going to take us through some points this morning by the grace of God. And I'll be brief because this is Pastor Benson and Sister Peace's Thanksgiving service. So the first thing I'd like us to understand by living a life that's fulfilled is that you cannot live a fulfilled life without the Holy Spirit, number one. And number two, you cannot have the Holy Spirit unless you are born again. So if there's anyone in this house, if you want to give your life to Christ, that's fine. We can give an altar call after the teaching this morning. You need to be a Christian for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And the Holy Spirit has a purpose. I'd like us to turn to a scripture this morning. Can we turn to John chapter 16, verse 13? When Jesus Christ left and he ascended into heaven, he said, I will leave you my spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 16, verse 13, he says, but when the Spirit of truth comes, we know he has come already. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Amen. Who wouldn't want that kind of person directing your life? The Bible says he will tell you what is yet to come. I remember, let's just ignore the showers of blessings in that corner. Let's just ignore it. Amen. I remember before I was choosing a life partner. Obviously, I'm married now. Praise God. Amen. Yes. When I was choosing a life partner, you know, when I was single, in a place where I come from, when you reach a certain age, it becomes people's mission in their life. So whenever they see you, they say, when are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? And so I went through a bit of all of that. I won't lie. But then it came to a point in my life where I just decided to go to that scripture in Matthew that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every other thing shall be added unto you. So as a single person, I just got myself occupied with the things of God. And then one day, my brother and my mom at the time, they said, oh, Remy, my name is Remy and my name is Josephine. Okay, they call me Josephine at work. A lot of you know me by Remy. They said, oh, there's a wedding in Scotland and we want you to come. And to be honest, I didn't want to go to a wedding, number one. Number two, all the way in Scotland? No. So anyway, fast forward. I remember I ended up in Scotland. And when I was at that wedding, lo and behold, who was there? Brother Charles. So that obviously is my husband. And when I first saw him, you see how the devil can confuse you. When I first saw him, he was in a bridal train. Do you know what a bridal train is? And he was carrying the bridesmaids' purses. So when you see that, what do you think as a lady? Oh, he's already taken. He's probably, and anyway, I wasn't really looking at his direction anyway. When I met him, he was dressed nicely in a Scottish quilt and everything. And I remember, it's like all the aunties and all my mom's friends, they were just on me for that reason that, oh, you need to open up, you're too serious and all of that. And then I remember when I just looked at Brother Charles, and then a spirit came to me and said, oh, he looks like a good husband. And that was that, and I went. And you know, us ladies, I was playing hard to get. He was coming, I was like, please, are you coming this way? That's the direction, go there, please. And then I think my brother went out with him somewhere, and then my brother said, oh, I went out with one guy, what have you. And then I was still proving difficult, and then I remember he waited by the door to collect my number. And then he called me the next day, and the rest is history. So why am I telling you that story? That the Holy Spirit can direct you in every single affair. And I also remember when I had a health challenge, you know, to do, I won't go into that, But I remember a doctor said to me, oh, do you have a child already? Because you might not be able to have another one. But I remember that God already showed me a vision that I had a girl. And at that time when the doctor was talking, I had only a boy. So I was already rest assured that, you know what, bless you, doctor. I respect your years of medicine and everything. But the Spirit of God has already shown me that I'm going to have a daughter. So when that scripture talks about he will show you things to come, I tell you the Holy Spirit is real. Amen. The Holy Spirit is real. So just going back to the first point I put here is looking at this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. Part of living a fulfilled life of God is God brings you across people that are also led by the Spirit. Amen. You know, part of walking with the Holy Spirit is he leads you in all paths, as we read in John 16, verse 3. So let's go to Acts chapter 18, actually. Acts chapter 18. When we see how this couple came into Paul's ministry. Acts chapter 18, from verse 1 to 3, if we can have it on the board. Acts chapter 18. Now, I'm just paraphrasing here, but in our own time, if you made reference, you can read it. Aquila and Priscilla, they had actually been people that lived in Rome, and they were persecuted, so they had to flee that region. And the scripture says here that after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, and a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. And Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. So this was the first of them crossing their paths. And that was the Spirit of God really leading Paul to that couple, because this couple really played a very great role in the ministry of Paul. Amen. So one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, he actually brings us across the right types of people that we should meet in life. And even as we all know that as a church, we've been looking at the coming of the Lord, yeah, we're still looking at being led by the Holy Spirit. Whether God leads you to a church or whether God leads you to a ministry or certain people, but everything that God does in a Christian's life is not by chance. Whether he leads you to a friend, to a spouse, he leads you to an organization, he leads you to a church, very important. I remember reading a testimony of a great evangelist. His name is Nabil. He was previously a Muslim. It's fortunately for him, because he's having a good time in heaven right now, where we're here still in this rain, paying bills, having to cook. Anyways, so he is resting in the bosom of Abraham, and what a privilege he would be raised first on the coming of the Lord. So he talked about his salvation story, and he said that he was born into a Muslim family, and his family migrated to America. And he met a friend, I don't know whether it was in medical school because he was a doctor. And he said that he came to realize that this friend was a Christian. But even though the friend was a Christian and he was a Muslim, that didn't hinder their relationship. And he said the friend never ever judged him because of his different religion. But the friend he could just see something different from him. You know that scripture that says when they saw them, they knew they had been with Christ. That is the aura that he received. And he said, Nabil he slept and he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that there was a narrow door. And this narrow door could only fit exactly his body, his height, and the width. And when he looked through that narrow door, he saw a banquet. And he said he saw, because he's a Muslim, he saw someone that he thought was Jesus, and his friend was on that banquet. And he said he wanted to try and get in, but he couldn't get in. And he shared this story with his friend. And his friend said, wow, Nabil, go and read Luke chapter 13. And when he went to Luke chapter 13, there's a verse there, I think it's the next parable that Jesus tells, but it's in the book of Luke chapter 13. His friend says, that vision you had, Nabil, was the parable of the feast. When Jesus was at the banquet with the saints, and Jesus was saying, narrow is the door that leads to paradise, and only a few can enter. And his friend said to Nabil, you know what to do. And that friend gave his life to Jesus. And he became a great evangelist before he died. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit leads us on our daily affairs. He leads us in the relationships that we meet every single day. He leads you to the spouse you marry. He leads you to the people who are your neighbors. There's a reason why you live next to who you live next to. Although you might argue about the bin and all those things, but there's a reason. Some of us are smiling. Has it happened to us? They put in your bin on your side, right? Or there's a reason why you're in that organization. It's not just for the paycheck. There's a reason why I'm talking to the young people. I see some young people in the house this morning. There's a reason why you are in the school that you're in. There's a reason why God is bringing you across certain people. So what are we talking about this morning? Being led by the living a fulfilled life, being led by the Holy Spirit. And so we see the meeting of Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul in that scripture in Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. So I want us to say, you know, when you go away from the service this morning, Father, Lord, make me aware of those who you've put around me. Make me aware of those you've put around me. Maybe you have people, you know, who are friends, even the family that you're in. Father, Lord, say, Father, Lord, make me aware of the people you have brought my way. Amen. Amen. And the second point I'd like to go to is, in living a fulfilled life as a Christian, you must always belong to a church. Amen. Amen. I know that this is 2025, and it's really cool to attend church on YouTube. But in the book of Revelations, chapter 2 and 3, God is speaking to seven churches. And he didn't say to the church online, to the church in www.something, or to the church on YouTube. No. It was a physical church. And I just want to encourage us that if you don't belong to a Bible-believing church, we need to. Because in heaven, everyone must belong to a church. Because in that story in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, it said to the angel assigned, every church is assigned an angel. And in heaven, they associate you with the church. And you know, every time God speaks to the church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, at the end of it, he always says, the Spirit of God, let everyone hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So in every Bible-believing church, the Spirit of God is there saying different things. The Spirit of God is saying different things to each and every one of us. And one of the things I wanted to talk about is, I want us to look at Aquila and Priscilla. And look at Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. Romans chapter 16, verse 3 to 5. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who have risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Amen. One of the things that I saw about Aquila and Priscilla, this couple, they lived a fulfilled life. They were so instrumental in Paul's ministry, okay? I don't know about you, but when I saw it says, greet them and the church that meets at their house. So that means this couple were actually opening their house to the church. And when I was reading that, I had a joke, actually, because it's not easy. I had a joke. Some of us might have experienced this. Growing up, And before I say this, it's not child abuse, just because this might be recorded, it's just culture. Growing up, I never really had my own bedroom for maybe more than 1 month. There's some of us know what I'm talking about. Maybe you experienced it. I used to come home and one auntie that came from somewhere, or one uncle, is in the room, occupy the room. And my mom would say, oh, they only came. But after 2 months, 1 year, 2 years, our auntie and uncle are still in the room. You understand? And so, for a couple to give up their house for the church to meet, I don't know whether they had kids or what have you. Honestly, this is a life of sacrifice. And one of the things I wrote here is, when you're living a life led by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, sometimes you may face challenges or discouragement. Because I'm sure there are people that said, "Are you know there's that phrase that people always say, are you the one that killed Jesus? Have you heard that phrase before? Are you the one that killed Jesus? Why every time, every Sunday, you're having people in your house? Why are you always, today you're with Paul traveling to this country, the next minute, come on, what happened? Aquila, Priscilla. Maybe the people, their customers, we came to buy tent from you. They said you have gone on a missionary trip. Sometimes you may have maybe discouragement, but sometimes you've just got to keep on with God's work. You've just got to keep on with God's work. And I have a scripture for us here. You know, in this time of the last days, it's so important that, like I said, we don't belong to a, we don't just belong to online church, we belong to a church, because God has a work for us to do in his church. Amen? Are you still with me?
Yes.
Don't let this weather get to you. Amen. So it's important for us to really be led by the Spirit of God and keep our eyes focused on the prize. That's what I wrote here. In living a fulfilled life, you've got to keep your eyes focused on the prize. Because what is that prize? You know, when Jesus says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," he's not going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You became a CEO at Accenture's. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I saw all those lovely cars. Ah, your house was awesome." No. When we get to heaven, you know, I'm sure the angels and the people that meet you, maybe if you talk to Moses, and if that sounds strange to us, do you know in heaven you're going to see all the people that you read about in the Bible? Do we believe that? And I know someone cracked a joke that the person that they want to speak to when they meet to heaven is Adam. You know what they're going to... In fact, Adam's queue is going to be so long because everyone's going to want to ask him a question. Adam, why did you eat that fruit? Why weren't you there to guide your wife? You put us in trouble, Adam. Amen. That's just a joke, by the way. Amen. So, it's so important to be focused on the prize. You know why? The Bible says, if any man thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. Although we're looking at this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, and obviously I've used an example of all the challenges they must have faced as they were supporting Paul's ministry. But I want to compare them with another person that followed Paul. There was another individual called Demas. Demas was also part of Paul's ministry. Do you remember what happened to Demas? Yeah. Demas was also following Paul's ministry, just like Aquila and Priscilla. But then he just came, this is me paraphrasing, and said he wants to travel to, is it Thessalonica? Who are the people in Thessalonica that he wants to meet, that wants to take him from this great ministry? But you have to keep your eyes on the prize. Satan doesn't have a problem with you going to church. He doesn't have a problem with you to sticking "Jesus is Lord" on my house. In fact, you can stick 100. But he wants to take you away from Eden. That's what I wrote here. Just like what he did to Eve. He does not want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be led by the Spirit of God. He doesn't want you to be co-workers with Christ. And although we're not looking at these characters today, but when I say take heed, if you think you stand, lest you fall. We see what happened to Demas. So, In being led by the Spirit of God, we need to belong to a Bible-believing church, because there's a work for every Christian in every church to do. Amen? Amen. I shared a testimony last Sunday about, do we know Billy Graham? Yes. Billy Graham and his friend went to a revival in their youth. And at this revival, they could not find any chair to sit down on. He hadn't really become really, you know, like all of us, we are just born into Christianity, but we know that we don't really have our own personal relationship. Because do you know that being born in a Christian house doesn't make you a Christian? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. We need to be led and nurture that spirit of the Holy Spirit. So Billy Graham and his friend was at this like crusade or revival, and they didn't have a seat, and they were about to turn back. And an usher ran after them and said, no, I will create a seat for you. And in that meeting, he got saved. We need to give that usher a round of applause. What I'm saying is that being co-workers of Christ is not really in the structure and the format that we think, that you have to be a pastor or a preacher. Look at Aquila and Priscilla. They weren't apostles, you know, but they did a great work. And honestly, we are reading about them over 2,000 years. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'll be like, Aquila and Priscilla, I enjoyed teaching about you, you know, on the, what date is it today? You know, on the 7th of September. Amen. We will all rapture in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We will all rapture in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, what are we talking about? Living a fulfilled life led by the Spirit of God. We need to belong to a Bible-believing church. In heaven, they're not going to say, where did you live? You lived in Hillside, Hill Davis, CF39. What address is that? We're looking for 48 Forest Gate Road. Is that going to be you in Jesus' name? Or Woolwich, wherever church? Everyone needs to belong to a Bible-believing church. Amen. Amen. And we need to seek the prize. We need to run our race and look for the prize. Amen. I want us to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, now there is in store for me. Everyone say, for me. There is a crown in store for me. Amen. There's a crown in store for everyone who works with the Lord. It says here, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Amen. You know, that last verse, longed for his appearing. You know, I have a private joke with God. Do you know why? You know, there's been a lot of revelations that Jesus is coming in September. And that scripture says, for those who long for his appearing. But you know, for some of us, we're not longing for his appearing right now. Because I just want to get married, God, then come after. I just want to give birth, you know. And I was like to pastor, at least Jesus is coming towards the end of September. So you would have done your marriage. You know. But some of us, we're not longing for his appearing. Because there's so many of our earthly pursuits that we still want to accomplish. But sister cracked a joke with me. We're texting each other, you know, because we were just sharing that, this coming of the Lord, you know, I've just been praying to God to just help me, you know. I'm going to be honest, someone really upset me recently, and I just wanted to block them. But I remember Pastor Benson said, as a Christian, you cannot block people. And I was asking God for forgiveness, you know, like, God, help my heart. Help my heart, because unforgiveness cannot enter heaven. And I remember as well, speaking of the Holy Spirit is so real. Do you know, I was pondering upon this. And I said, God, there's a scripture. I remember the scripture, love is patient, love is kind. And you know, it's a popular scripture, but on that day, for some reason, I just couldn't remember it. And I had my Bible in my hand. And lo and behold, as I flipped, do you know that God took me right there? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it says, paraphrasing, love is patient, love is kind. I'm just paraphrasing, I don't remember in order. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not remember the wrongdoings. And to myself, Remy, what is your problem with this forgiveness? I remember many of us say we've forgiven, but we've not, because we remember the wrongdoings. But do you know that Jesus, once he forgives us, he remembers them no more. So this person did not even plan to kill me. What about Judas, who planned to kill Jesus, and Jesus was still vibing, if I can use that expression, the young people here, because I'm young, we know what that means, isn't it? Vibing with him. Jesus, you know someone is going to kill you, and you're still there, just, you know, going about with him. And it's like, did this person try and kill you, Remy? So what is your problem? Why can't you just let this thing go? And I believe God gave that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to us because he knew that we'll get in that situation. Love is patient. Love is kind. Even if the person slaps me, love is what? Kind. Even if the person does me bad, love is. Jesus' love replies by kindness. Love does not remember the wrong. Love is not proud. You know, sometimes it's like, how can this person talk to me like that? Why won't they talk to you like that? They have to talk to you like that. Receive that. Who else will they not talk to if it's not you? Jesus has given the example of how, you know, when we look at people like Stephen, we look at people like Jesus, and they said, Lord, forgive them, for they know what they do. I just said, God, that's the level, you know, we need to go to, where you are dead. If someone does something to a dead person, can they respond? We are born again. This is your flesh. We're dead in Christ. Amen. And just rounding up, what are we talking about? Living a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. And that point, too, was talking about us being co-workers of Christ. Living a life being fulfilled as a Christian, you must belong to a church. And you must be fellow workers in Christ, just like this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, were in the ministry of Paul. Amen. And just going on to the last point, because we still have Pastor and Sister Peace's Thanksgiving this morning. Amen. My third point, I've already touched upon it. Living a fulfilled life is seeing yourself as a fellow worker with Christ. You know, not giving any excuses. You know, I just imagine in that Acts chapter 18, verse 1 to 3, that Aquila and Priscilla, they were actually in this age, we'll call them refugees, because they left their country to another, but they did not say, I'm a refugee, Lord, I need to sort myself out, God, I can't really. They went full blast in working with Christ. They did not allow their situation to give excuses. And I talked about how can we be a fellow worker of Christ. You don't have to hold a microphone. You don't have to be like, it's not just about people that stand here that are fellow workers of Christ. There are people in the background, in the ministry. You know, the Bible talks about different ministries in one part of the Bible. But if you see this this couple, they were really, really key people in Paul's ministries. And I wrote here, I believe they were intercessors. Because, you know, sometimes people who God have given, you know, a church to, maybe like Apostle, if you've not seen him, his picture's at the back, or Reverend Omar Williams, Pastor Benson. You know, sometimes they need someone to lean a shoulder on. They need someone to talk to. You know, have you imagined you come with all maybe your prayer requests and everything? Who do they share what's on their mind with? Maybe apart from their spouse. But this couple were, I believe they were intercessors for Christ. They were intercessors for Paul. Paul went through a lot, you know. This Paul, definitely the Holy Spirit was working through him. The Bible says that there was one place where he was beat up. And then he just dusted himself off and said, I'm going back. Going back to the same people that beat him up. That is the Spirit of God working in that man. And I believe that same Spirit is working in us. And I remember in the work of service unto God, sometimes you might be offended. Sometimes you might be discouraged. Like, you know, I use example of maybe people who are pastors. Maybe you call a meeting and only two people turn up. Keep on. You know, I remember Pastor said at the beginning of the ministry, for months and months and months in the hotel, Holiday Inn in Bond Street, they would just be preaching to maybe few numbers, four numbers, three. But look what the Lord has done. Can you look around? Look what the Lord has done. Keep your eyes on the prize. In being fellow workers of Christ, there might be discouragement. There might be voices, but let the voice of the Holy Spirit be louder. Let the voice of the Holy Spirit be louder. Sometimes it can be tough. And don't worry. When we see Paul and everyone, we'll ask them, like, Paul, you are really gangster, if I can use that word. Eh? They beat you up and you still went back to preach. Oh, wow, Paul, you know. And also as well, Priscilla and Aquila, there were people that worked in the background. What I wrote here is they built up the brethren in the church. There was an individual that came to the church that they were looking after who was well-versed in scripture and what have you. And Aquila and Priscilla, they went to that brother and they taught him where he was going wrong. You know, people like Aquila and Priscilla in the church, they're always working in the background. And let me tell you, you might not be seen by men, but you are seen by God. And what would you rather be seen by? I'd rather be seen by God. Amen. So in being led by the Spirit of God, God wants us to work as fellow workers with him in his vineyard. Amen. And I'll just stop there. And I'd like us to pray for ourselves this morning as we rise. And we're going to say, Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. You said in that scripture in John chapter 16, verse 33, that the Holy Spirit was left for me to lead me into all truth. I want to say, Father, Lord, this morning, even as we've been taken through the scriptures, that we need to understand that you're not living this life here on earth on your own. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, and say, Father, Lord, help me to be conscious, more conscious of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to lift up our voice and pray. Father, Lord, help me to be more conscious of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you because you are the gift that I needed. You are the one that directs me. You are the one that leads me into all truth. You are the one that strengthens me. You are the one that encourages me. You are the one that reveals the mysteries of the Father. Father, Lord, I thank you because, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit that moves the end time church. You're the Spirit that is moving in our midst, Father. Oh, God, Lord, I pray, Father, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, Holy Spirit, let me be totally submissive unto you. Let me pay attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit in this last days. Let's begin to pray that prayer with sincerity. Let's pray that prayer with sincerity. Holy Spirit, oh God, forgive me where I've not listened to you. Holy Spirit, forgive me where I've allowed other voices to overshadow the voice of the Spirit. Oh Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him to inhabit a man that you created? Holy Spirit, have mercy on me. Henceforth, Holy Spirit, I will listen to your voice. Henceforth, Holy Spirit, I will go where you lead me to. The Bible says that the sheep, they hear the voice of their Father, and that voice is what they obey. Henceforth, I will obey the Spirit of the living God. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to listen to your Spirit. Where there's so many voices and so many sounds in this last days, oh God, help us to be sensitive to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Oh, we thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And we want to pray